Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, June 21st, 2023. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 95, paragraph 2, which begins with, if he is not interested in your solution, and ends with, this he may do after he gets hurt some more. Today's readers are Savona W. for the 12 Steps, Laura W. from Ohio for the 12 Traditions, Julie E. B. will read our text and comment on it first, and Ivana A. will read page 164, and Laura W. from New Jersey is here for backup. Thank you so much for your service. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, July 20th is 20461. And the reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20463. BOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Savona W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Yes, good morning. This is Kivana W. from Pennsylvania, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles with all our affairs. Thank you. This is Kivana.
Oops, I'm so sorry. I will now ask I will now ask Laura W. from Ohio to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Laura W., recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Tradition 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Tradition 6, An OA group never endorsed, financed, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain professional anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Laura W. from Ohio, thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura W. How our meeting works? Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 95, paragraph 2. And I will ask Julie E.B. to please begin reading for us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If he is not interested in your solution, if he expects you to only act as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. This he may do after he gets hurt some more. Boy, this is quite a paragraph. I think probably for sponsoring, it's something that, I thought about and had outreach about and received outreach about almost more than anything else, you know. And sometimes it'll be phrased, are they ready? Or sometimes, you know, people will say, well, they weren't ready. And for me, I try not to move into that, are they ready? Because I feel that brings me personally into judgment. And it doesn't have to do that for anyone else. I'm not saying that against how anyone else thinks about it, but we're all unified here in wanting to help people who suffer. And the fact is, I went to a meeting for my sponsor, another program's 20th anniversary trip in OA when I was over 125 pounds overweight. And it never occurred to me that anything said at that meeting had anything to do with me until a few years later. She watched me go up and down and in and out. And a few years later, I asked her, what is abstinence? And started that as my home meeting, met someone from this meeting there, and came here and have been able to live in recovery. So it doesn't always occur to folks. For me, what this says, what I look at in this is, if I'm working harder than the other person, I don't usually end up helping people out financially. But as far as someone calling back, you know, I'm in relapse, I'm eating, I'm eating, and wanting sort of a mother confessor. I've been there. I've been that person, wanting to talk about it, but not wanting to change. I feel like I'm that person quite often in my emotional sobriety. And so this all sounds common sense, but it's not easy. So for me as a sponsor, I usually try not to judge readiness or anything else, but simply to give the person more work, more in terms of more assignments that might be clarifying for them. And typically, if the food is just too strong right then, they will stop calling back. So until maybe they're hurt some more and are ready to change. And I don't know if this is the right way to do it, but for me, it works better than saying most of the other things. In my personal life with people with addiction, I can barely stand this sentence. This they may do after they get hurt some more, because there's no guarantee. Yeah, and I don't want to see them be hurt. But I have watched people I love be hurt, and I have to turn them over in terms of just trying to trust God every day. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie. We appreciate you getting us started here. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Tuesday and you'd like to comment on what was read, please press star 1 to unmute. Give us your name, where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from you. Page 95, paragraph 2. Don't all speak at once now.
Elaine Greenberg? Elaine G?
I hear Mary. Elaine G, and I heard somebody else. Oh, Mary?
Mary. Jesus.
Cheryl A.D., Ventura, California.
Cheryl A.D., okay. And I heard Mary from Massachusetts?
Yes.
And anybody else?
California.
Who was that again?
Agnes from California.
Agnes from California, and I heard somebody else.
Christiana from Germany.
Toronto.
I heard a gentleman from Toronto.
Stephen G.
What was Stephen G? And I heard somebody else there too.
Robin.
Christiana from Germany.
Christiana from Germany, and I did hear you too, Robin G. Christiana, what's the first initial of your last name?
K.
J? As in?
Kaiser.
Kind. Okay. Thank you, Christina K. And did you say you're from the UK? Okay, we'll catch that a little later. Here's the lineup here. Elaine G, Mary D, Cheryl A.D., Agnes C, Stephen O.C.A., and Stephen G, and Christina K, and Robin P. We got lots to listen to right now. So we're going to start off with Elaine G, and you'll be followed by Mary D in Massachusetts. Please share with us, Elaine. Star 1 to unmute.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine G. from New York. Always glad to be here. I could always count on Vision for you to be here. Anyway, about this paragraph 2 on 95, I try to help people, but if they don't want the help, I don't give it to them. No. In the past, if I would think somebody needs advice or help, usually it turns around and they get angry with me, you know, and if they don't want it, you know, they have to be ready to accept whatever you want to, you know, accept, actually to ask you, I need some help, can you help me, you know? I mean, in my own life, I see certain people in my life that don't need to be in my life because they're so negative. I mean, like, so negative to the point every time you talk to them on the phone, this, you know, that's wrong, you know? And so I need to be with positive people. No, not people that are going to bring me down, you know, that are negative, you know. I have a hard time with my sister. She's kind of negative, you know, doesn't want to take any suggestions or advice. And so I got to step back, and do what's good for me. That's what my cardiologist tells me, you know. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Elaine G. Mary D. in Massachusetts, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Cheryl A. D. Star one to unmute, Mary D. Mary in Massachusetts?
Oh, now I'm unmuted. Can
yes,
you hear me
now? Yes, now you are. I hear you. You sound great. Thank you.
Mary D. from Massachusetts, gratefully recovered today. And I just wanted to add my two cents. If you're not ready, there's nobody that's going to make you ready. And that's what I found for years and years of being in and out of regular OA. And in finding a beautiful vision for you, sponsor, you know, suffering a lot of relapses, if you're not ready, and this program is simple but not easy, there is work to be done. And if you're not ready to do the work, you're not going to get long-term recovery. So every day there's work to be done. And when I got my sponsor that I have right now, initially, I had called her a couple of years ago, and she gave me an initial assignment and said, you know, if you're willing to do this work, we can get going. And I looked at the assignment, and it was so much work, and I thought, what? This woman's crazy. I'm not going to do all this work. I need something easier than this. And I didn't call her. But a couple of years later, I called her back, and she gave me this big, long assignment, said, you have a week to do it. You know, we can get started. So I did the work, whether I liked it or not, because what I hear on the line is, people just do the work. Yeah, just need to do the work, whether you feel like it or not. Because if you do, you get great recovery, and life is beautiful. So I did the work, and now I am sponsoring somebody. I told her my little story, and when I gave her the assignment, and how I felt about it, but that I did it anyway. Well, guess what? She felt the same way, but she did it anyway, and we're working together now, and sponsoring is a beautiful thing. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everybody, for your service.
Thanks so much, Mary D. Cheryl A.D., you're up next, followed by Agnes. Where are you calling from, Cheryl? Star one to unmute, Cheryl A.D.
Sorry about that. This is Cheryl A.D. from Ventura, California. So grateful to be on this meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you, Don, for your service. Thank you, Julie, for a beautiful opening, and welcome to anyone who's new. The first thing that came to my mind in reading this paragraph was the line in the 12 and 12 in step one that says that John Barleycorn himself had become our best advocate. This paragraph reminds me that this has nothing to do with this person's behaviors have nothing to do with me. I need to look at my behaviors. And, you know, if I'm trying to push something on someone who's not interested, that's about me. That's about me being in self. That's about me being in Cheryl's will. That's not what I'm learning about how to live my life today. It's about being in God's will. And I think that this is really also hearkening to the next page, which reminds us that if I'm wasting my time with someone who's not interested, I'm denying somebody else who's eager and desperate of the chance to recover. And I also apply this to my life in areas other than being of service to people in this program and carrying the message.
you know, if I'm doing something for somebody that they can do for themselves, that's an assault to their dignity, their personhood, and their ability to make their own choices. When I say it has nothing to do with me, it's because I have no control or power over what anyone else does. I'm just here to serve people and serve my God in the way that I feel I'm directed to. I once had a supervisor who told me, I don't take credit for anyone's success or their failure. And, you know, we've all heard, you know, if someone is desperate and willing, they're going to do the work. So this helps me to remain more humble because my ego is huge and I really want to think that I have something to do with somebody's success. But I have to look at my own motivations. Am I wanting to push because I want to feel successful? And that's enough for me today. Thank you so much. And everybody have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A.D. Agnes from Agnes C.A. is up next, followed by Stephen G.
Hi, this is Agnes A., as in Apple, from California. Let's see. I'm not sure what I want to say, but, you know, I come at this from the perspective of having had slips in the past and having had, you know, more of a diesel start, you know, than a gas start kind of a thing, like slower to warm up and catch on to the program and do what needs to be done and to be defiant and all that kind of stuff. So when I see somebody who has expressed an interest, you know, an interest to be in the program, I kind of do what is, I see myself as offering that person friendship and fellowship and support, right? I tell them about my experience and how sometimes the change is quick and sometimes it's slow, but it works if you keep working it, if you keep coming back. My encouragement to them is to stay with the program, you know, go to meetings, do your readings, you know, and when you're ready to fully commit, you'll be ready. And I also urge them that willingness to do the work sometimes is grace. So you have to pray for the willingness to be willing. And then don't beat yourself up, right? I think the sponsors that have kept me in the program have been the sponsors that have gone at my pace, that did not drop me because I didn't do a fourth step in 2 weeks. Kind of a thing. And so that's the model that I follow. I'm here for you. If you just want me to take your calls, if you just want me to listen to you, and I'll use that opportunity, like the, you know, has been said, to say, well, have you read step one in the big book? Have you read it in the 12 and 12? Have you read it in the whatever? How about this podcast? Do you want to listen? I tell them, keep coming back until the miracle you see here works for you. It works if you work it, but it will only work if you do what those people that you admire with 100-pound weight loss, 25 pounds, fixed relationships, if you do what they do. But don't think you have to, like, just gun it, right? Pray for the willingness to be willing, to be honest and open-minded, you know. And I just stay there. If they just want to make outreach calls, and every once in a while, I call them. So I don't drop people because I never like being dropped. I'm just there for them until they're ready. That doesn't mean I don't take other sponsees. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Agnes A. in California. Okay. Stephen G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Christina K. Please share with us, Stephen.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Stephen G., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. If we are a real compulsive overeater, like I am, then we have a disease that's permanent, it's progressive, and it's ultimately fatal. And we all come to the realization of that in our own time. The simple truth is that I will not be willing to abstain from foods or behaviors that provide me with my sense of ease and comfort. And I will not work the 12 steps to the best of my ability until I'm completely backed into a corner. And the only real teacher or motivator in this disease is the pain and suffering of the disease. And so I've come to the realization that I'm not the fellowship, nor am I other people's higher power. So when we talk about this idea of dropping people, the only thing I'm withdrawing is my time. But I'm encouraging people to come back to the fellowship. I'm encouraging them to keep trying. But I'm not responsible for the ultimate outcome of their recovery. And that's a great relief. The truth is I'm a guide. And when people are ready, they will follow. When they're not ready, they will not follow. And I don't know any guide that takes a person on a tour and puts them on their back and says, let me carry you. People have to follow on their own willingness, and the only willingness will be pain. And I know that from my own experience, and that will come in a person's individual time and God's time. I can't emotionally appeal to them to do things. I can only offer what's been offered to me, and then they can decide. And if they're not ready, then I move on to try to help somebody else. And I think that's God's will. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen G. Christina K., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Robin P. Please share with us, Christina.
Hi, this is Christiana K., as in Kingdom, from Northern California via Germany. Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Dawn, for your service, and Julie for starting us out. And thanks, everyone, for being here. It's 4 p.m. my time, and I look forward to this meeting every day. I'm so grateful that you guys are here because I haven't been able to find English-speaking meetings here where I am, and I'm so very grateful. I met my sponsor at a different meeting, not a 12-step meeting. It was just a Zoom meeting for something else, and I wanted what she had because she was always, she had that peace and that glow. And I didn't know that she was in OA, but she would often mention that, you know, I 3 meals a day, and in between I live life, and I don't eat sugar or flour and things like that. And I just so admire the way that she said that too. I loved her honesty as well. And I was desperate. I was really desperate. I am so, so grateful for the gift of desperation. It is really a gift. I was completely hopeless and had resigned basically to the fact that I was just going to get older and bigger as I got older. The aches and the pains were going to just increase, and the illnesses and more illnesses developed from that because I had tried everything. Even my doctors told me, you know, your body just tends to hold on to the weight as you age. And so I was so grateful. She gave me of her time, and I took to her like the thirsty to water. And I'm so grateful because and she never imposed anything on me, but she said, this is what I do. If you want what I have, this is what I suggest you do, because this is how I get what I have. And I am so very grateful for her generosity and also to my higher power for the gift of desperation. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christine K. from California. Okay, Robin P., you are up next. And then we'll take another lineup. We're commenting on page 95, paragraph 2. If he is not interested in your solution, and ending with this he may do after he gets hurt some more. Please share with us, Robin P.
Thank you, Elaine. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and we're currently in Nashville, Tennessee. And thanks so much for your service. You know, I feel like I have sponsored so many people who, you know, just weren't ready, and I'm so grateful for the people who are, and it feels like it doesn't matter now. I've learned over the years that it just matters that I stay abstinent. And it took what it took for me. It took me a really long time to get abstinent. I had to hit bottom. And I'm a low bottom bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive. I've done all, and I'm very low bottom bulimic. And it took me much longer than I think people would have thought. Oh my gosh, isn't that her bottom? Isn't that her bottom? Oh my gosh, it just takes what it takes. And I just always say to people, if they're not ready, just pray to hit your bottom quickly. And because it is this gift of desperation that propels us to be willing to do the steps, to go to any length, to pick up the phone before picking up the food, like going to meetings. I go every day. Still, after 7 years of abstinence, I still go every day. Thank God for these meetings. And, to reach out and do the step work and then be willing to sponsor other people. It takes what it takes. You know, texting my food or emailing my food to my sponsor and my nightly review. It's work, but it was so much more work being in the food and being in the crazy. And that worshiping food is a full-time job. Once, you know, the rat on the wheel kicks in, it's really agonizing. I'm so grateful to be abstinent today. And we're in the middle of traveling through the U.S. About a city a week, looking to see if we can find a home here for at least half the year and the rest of the year. I think we would be in Costa Rica, so we may make a change on that. And we're with two newly retired jungle dogs who adopted us in Costa Rica. And my husband and myself, and we're traveling in a van and in dog-friendly hotels with kitchens. And, you know, and a gym. And it's one day at a time. And it's very go with the flow. And it's very much relying on God. It's such a faith walk that I'm going through right now. And I'm so grateful for the structure of the program. And I'm very, very blessed. And thank you all. I'm so grateful for prayers. I'm so grateful that I get to reach up to God and reach out to all of you. God bless everybody. It was a very blessed abstinence day. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day that others might have an opportunity to share their experience, too. So if you haven't shared in the last, since Tuesday, and you'd like to comment on page 95, paragraph 2, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Hi, this is Vicki P.
Hi.
In Florida.
Vicki P. in Florida. Okay.
Rella R. from Brooklyn.
Rella R. Brooklyn.
Alex
A. Hannah B. from Tennessee.
I heard Alex and Hannah B. Alex, what's the first initial of your last name?
K.
Alex K. Thank you. I think there's probably going to be room for one more, possibly. It's not a guarantee.
Joan Marie.
What's the first initial of your last name, Joan?
M.
Joan Marie M. Okay, great. That's a great lineup. Thank you. Hope there's room for all. Okay. So we have Vicki P. Rella from New York. Alex K., Hannah B., and Joan Marie M. Vicki P., you're up first, and please share with us after you will be Rella. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. My name is Vicki P., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Florida. And, recently I put my name out there that I was available for sponsorship and that I welcome people that have been in relapse because, even though I don't believe relapse is part of recovery, in my opinion, it's part of my story. And I had like 20 people call. And when I actually got down to talking to them and what I did, what I did to recover, then it whittled down to 10. And then, the more it kind of got down, one person called me and she said that she had to wait to call me because she was crying too hard. And I said, oh, thank God. And she was like, what do you mean? And I said, oh, this is good because you have the gift of desperation. You're crying. That's good. don't lose that. Hold on to that. And it was like I was saying it almost, I was saying it for her, but I was also saying it for myself because selfishly, I wanted somebody to stick because I need to sponsor in order to keep this. And also, sponsoring for me gives me that effect. It gives me the effect that the food used to give me. I'm an effect person. I'm going to always need that effect. And I get it from sponsoring. I get it from being on meetings. I get it from God. I get it from spirituality. I get it from steps 10s and 11s, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So, and in my own story, I had hurt some more, and then some more until I was really beaten into a state of reasonableness. And I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vicki T. Rella R., you're up next, followed by Alex K.
Hi, Rella R., slowly recovering compulsive overeater. So I'm reading this as talking to me as the one who needs the sponsoring. I know that I've been through several sponsors, and when I approach my sponsor as someone who's going to make decisions for me, fix me, like now I'm desperate enough to do whatever they tell me to do. Yeah, the desperation is good, but I'm abandoning myself, sort of, for them to wave a magic wand over me. So I've had sponsors who I've had wonderful relationships with, but slowly as my unwillingness to really stick with the food program and I get wobbly and shaky, you know, one sponsor said that she would have to stop me, but she said in the most gentle way. And another sponsor also felt that I wasn't, that she had done all she could. It hurts. It hurts when I get, you know, when a sponsor leaves, but it does give me pause. I don't immediately jump back. I take a little while to reflect and to feel, you know, to grieve a little bit. I'm very sensitive to, I've got abandonment stuff and all this other thing. And, but I find that I'm getting back. I recognize, I accept, and then I'm back on the, then I get back on, you know, the bandwagon again. And I'm going to try again, perhaps with a little more honesty, with perhaps a little more sobriety. Each one is a learning curve for me. I hope that each time I do the readings again, I'm on a sponsor now that we started back again from the first chapter of the big book after I had just several months ago gone through the first, you know, gone through the first three steps and done a very thorough fourth step, and was actually in the middle of the fifth step when she said that, when I admitted that I had indulged, so she let me go. So, you know, I can, there are all kinds of sponsors I need to be accepting, and I also need to accept the fact that I haven't sponsored yet either, and maybe there's a little piece of me that's afraid of getting there, so maybe I sabotage, that's a possibility too. But in any case, I'm grateful for every sponsor that gives up her time to me, and I do make the time, and I do want to keep coming back, and I do want to get it right between me and God, not get it right in terms of my perfectionism, like I'm going to do this perfectly, but maybe a little bit more honestly than before. So thank you all for listening, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rella R. from New York. And Alex K., you're up next, followed by Hannah B.
Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California. Thanks for being here. I'm a compulsive eater, recovered for today. I'm reminded of the part earlier in the book that says we don't chase after people. If someone's not willing, we find someone who is willing. And I can't make anyone willing any more than anyone could make me willing. The pain of the disease is the best motivator. And I had to go through a lot of pain before I was willing to ask for help and accept help. And we each have our own path. I have no control over anyone else's path. I don't know what's best for them, or even know if OA is the way they need to go. All I can do is offer to help and share my experience, strength, and hope if asked, and then let go of the results. It's not up to me how my message is received. Step 12 says we try to carry this message. So my job is to share the message of hope, which may or may not help someone else, but it always helps me. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much, Alex K. Hannah B., you're up next, followed by Joan Marie M. Please share with us, Hannah.
Good morning, Hannah B. from Tennessee. I'm really grateful to be on the line with you guys, recovered compulsive overeater. So if he's not interested and expects me to act as a banker, and, you know, the thing is, like, it just doesn't work if that's the case. So, like, it's just completely ineffective in my experience. And all that does is actually put me into stress, because then I'm fighting and I'm in conflict with someone's disease, you know. And when I'm not in conflict with someone's disease and that person is willing, the work is so easy. It's just like there's this divine flow and the solution is accepted and there's a willingness. And I don't really have to do much, actually. I just have to show up and continue to be there and to continue to give the next assignment or be of service in whatever way I'm called to. And it's incredible. It's beautiful. It's like life-giving, you know. Someone shared the other day on the line, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, they said it gives them energy, you know, and it does. And anything else just siphons because this disease siphons and takes, you know. And I know for me, like, I had lots of readies. I've been in program for years. But I wasn't ready to, like, really do this and really put this down and be empty-handed until not that long ago. And I'm so grateful for that gift. It is such a gift. And I don't know how that happened, you know. I kept seeking. I know that. I kept failing. I kept falling. But when my sponsor just was magically there and in the right place at the right time, you know, praise God, like, I just was ready and willing, and I did everything that she said with the desperation of a drowning person. And there's such a relief in knowing that for, like, in working with others, this time in working with others now, I'm like, oh, the pressure is off. It's like they are going to, you know, be willing to accept this solution, or they're not, and that's okay. And it's like, it doesn't really have anything to do with me. It really takes the pressure off, you know. It's like I'm kind of either in the right place at the right time for someone, or I'm not, and then I move on, and I'm clear, and it doesn't have to be this codependent relationship where I'm trying to get them to do something, you know, so I feel better as a sponsor. and so, you know, I just I really appreciate reading all this and hearing. Grateful for connection and recovery and the ability to just be in this recovery circle today, and that'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hanabi. Okay, Joan Marie M., you are up next. Please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Can I be heard?
You sound great.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I'm Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace of God. You know, I was just thinking about it and always praying before I speak or sponsor, and I have divine appointments, and it's such a privilege to be able to be God's ears and mouth to speak what he would have for each one, and I'm grateful for them. They do so much for me that they can't even imagine what they do for my life. And it's a privilege and an honor, and I don't take it lightly. And I try to be as helpful as I can and go what they need and listen and really listen to my higher power, God. He knows hearts, and I don't, and he knows what they need, and I don't. And so I just go with that, and I just go with their pace. I give them what I have, and that's all I can do. And if they're willing and honest and open-minded, they can't lose. they will be a winner all the way around. And so that's the requirement I give. I give assignments, and I let it up to their, to their pace. People have jobs, and they have family and different obligations, so I take all that into consideration. I just want to be of help. That's my thing, and to bring hope. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. We have time for a two-minute share. Who would like to take that? If you haven't shared in the last couple of days.
Hi, this is Jeannie. I'd love to share.
Okay, Jeannie, go ahead, please.
Okay, hold on one second. Okay, I would just like to get this message out to newcomers. If there's any on the line, please don't give up. It took me 3 weeks to find the right sponsor. I mean, one was telling me that, you know, something in the big book was in the big book, but she didn't work it, so I didn't have to work it. And I won't go into detail because of time with the other two, but with God's help, I was able to find a wonderful, compassionate, very knowledgeable big book person. And I am sponsoring now. What else? And it's just a wonderful program, and it works if I work it. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service, and you too, the moderator. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. This leaves us time for a one-minute share. Anybody want to take that? Anybody want a one-minute share? Star one to unmute. Okay. We'll reserve that for the time to take newcomer calls. All righty. So we'll now close the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Yvonne A. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be subjective only. Keep you until then.
Good. Thanks, Elaine. Yes, good morning, everybody. Yvonne A. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.